It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Wednesday the 21st. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Today, Microsoft will announce a new version of its Windows operating system, skipping from Windows 8 right to Windows 10. This could be the company trying to distance itself from Windows 8, which hasn't been seen as a smashing success. Our friend and New York Times technology columnist Molly Wood says this might be the year we see a leap ahead for the company's computerized personal assistant. No, not Clippy, Cortana.
Cortana is actually sort of stealthily one of the best products that Microsoft has built in a long time.
Think talking to your laptop or desktop to get the weather report after you wake up, but before you get out of bed. Also expected, a new browser from the company and perhaps a return to the start button. We'll keep you posted. Today, Congress debates a piece of legislation that would change the Communications Act of 1934. And next month, we'll see the Federal Communications Commission put forth and vote on new open internet rules. This is all about net neutrality, whether or not internet service providers like Verizon, Comcast, and others will be forced to deliver all information from companies to consumers equally. So-called fast lane deals are another way to deliver information that goes against net neutrality. But as Dan Bobkoff reports, the way we get information online has changed a lot in recent years, and these policy ideas might not be keeping up.
It used to be, way back when, say 2 years ago, that when I clicked on a Netflix video, it would take a winding journey from a server in one location, then through wires owned by any number of companies, until finally it hit my internet service provider, Time Warner. These days, that journey is a whole lot shorter.
Which is typically accomplished over a few feet.
Richard Bennett is a visiting fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. More often than not, Netflix just connects a wire from its server to boxes owned by ISPs like Comcast or Verizon or Time Warner.
Yeah, they're almost always in the same building.
This is how most of our internet traffic gets to us now. It's more reliable and efficient. Think less buffering. And increasingly, content companies like Apple, Google, and of course Netflix are paying confidential fees for this service. This is where things get controversial real fast. Susan Crawford co-directs Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society.
In America, where these very few ISPs have so much market power that they can extract payments, it's just like the mob. Just say, you're not going to reach our subscribers unless you pay us.
The FCC is getting more complaints about these deals. And now it has to decide what, if anything, to do about them. It's not sure whether interconnection should be part of net neutrality regulations next month, tackled separately later on, or left alone completely. That's what many ISPs would like. Matthew Brill is a lawyer representing many of the big names.
We all get the services we want. There's a real danger that if government gets in the middle of those relationships, it'll distort things in a way that ends up very harmful for consumers.
But what if Netflix videos are basically unwatchable unless Netflix pays an ISP for a direct connection? Is that fair? Ken Florence is Netflix head of content delivery.
Comcast could say, well, Netflix, you're using a third of our traffic. And we could say, well, we're providing a third of the value that your subscribers are getting, so you should pay us instead.
Or what Netflix really wants, which is to pay nothing. I'm Dan Bobkoff for Marketplace.
What if, in the process of teaching kids how to build robots, you threw out the manual, or at least didn't provide specific instructions? This is the idea behind HandyMate. It's a cheap robot kit for kids that values creative use of the parts over a one-size-fits-all building goal. HandyMate uses modules that can do different tasks, but they can be put together in different ways, too. Kylie Pepler is director of Indiana University's Digital Learning Lab, which worked on the kit. Hi, Kylie.
Hi.
What makes HandyMate different from other robotics kits?
This is the first robotics toolkit that actually comes up as being gender neutral in the kid's mind.
Dare I ask you what color it is?
It's whatever color you want it to be. So it's cardboard and crafting materials, and so you can really create your own designs.
Can this sort of thing be used to teach kids fundamentals of subjects other than engineering or robotics, like physics, for instance?
Oh, absolutely. And so what we're finding is within 90 minutes of play, you know, this is just for the average user, is that they engage really tough engineering content important for undergraduate engineers.
Kylie, I have a strange question for you, perhaps. Have you ever read Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance?
I have, actually.
I remember a part in this book where a couple of the adult characters are debating just how good a manual is for building a grill. And then a child comes up and folds the manual a different way, and in the process basically shows that all of the adults are kind of full of it. And it really reminded me of this idea that sometimes instructions can undermine our creativity.
Absolutely. This is a major problem, is that we're trying to design everybody for the same kind of outcome. We're trying to overplan what's going to be happening. And this kind of more playful approach to learning kind of gets us to redesign and rethink how that might happen.
Kylie Pepler is an assistant professor of learning sciences at Indiana University. Kylie, thank you very much.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure.
By the way, Kylie is an author of an academic paper about how the kit is used for learning. We've posted that and a video at facebook.com/marketplacetech. Well, the rumors were swirling, and now it's official. Google and Fidelity Investments indeed have paid about $1 billion in funding for a 10% stake in SpaceX. Meaning, yes, Elon Musk's private space travel company now has just a bit more cash to play with. If by play with, I mean launch a network of internet beaming satellites. Space spam, here we come. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.